tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. You can call me Gregory. And welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I hope you're doing well. Before we begin talking about barbecuing meat and other things on the grill, I want to remind you of a couple of things. I have a website called naturopathicearth.com. I've been publishing pretty much a blog article a day, along with all the different podcasts of NP Radio and Confessions of an Obese Child. So go check out those articles. I just released one today on the definitive review of condiments. Yes, I know condiments is kind of funny, but we do use a lot of condiments. And many of you know some of the toxins that are in them, but some of you don't. So check it out. I give a review or a letter grade to ketchup and mayonnaise and salsa and hot spicy sauce and so forth. I have about 5 or 6 reviews on my website. I have one on Greek yogurts. I have one on non-dairy milks like almond milk, coconut milk. I have one on non-sugar sweeteners. I have one on non-flours like almond flour, coconut flour. In addition to all my other articles and essential oil recipes and food recipes and other things like that. So check that out. Also, if you're in the need of a health coach, please contact me. As you guys know, I've lost a lot of weight and I've kept it off for longer than many people have been alive. And it's been a struggle. I recently released an episode called The Imprisoned Orthorexic over on the Confessions of an Obese Child feed. And I talk about some of the struggles that I currently have with eating. And it's related back to the episode I did on orthorexia back on this feed on Naturopathic Earth. I think it was episode maybe 18 or 19, the 12 steps or the 12 ways you know that you might be an orthorexic. And I do possibly share a lot of those characteristics. So check that out over on Confessions of an Obese Child. Also, I want to let you know that Kate's back in the saddle again. Back in the saddle. Or, I'm back. I'm back in the saddle again. Some Aerosmith from the 70s. So she's already recorded her Frankincense, the long-awaited sequel. You know, you think we waited a long time for the new Star Wars movie? What was it, like 12 years between Revenge of the Sith and Phantom Menace, or Revenge of the Sith and Force Awakens? Well, Katie did release her, or she did record her Frankincense, and she's going to be releasing that later on this week. Also, she's decided to do a Mindfulness Monday every Monday, where she'll talk about some aspects of mindfulness. Like this week, she released one on Monday on acceptance, dealing with acceptance, and perhaps accepting the fact that we're not perfect. She's going through a lot of stuff right now, given that she has 5 children, including a newborn, and she's a full-time mom, and just the pressures of being perfect, which I think everyone can relate to a certain extent, but certainly women. So she's going to have a different theme each Monday. So she'll be doing that in addition to her Kate's Apothecary episodes on essential oils. But we are not here to talk about that. We are here to talk about carne, the meat. So let's talk about some problems with meats. And we're going to talk about just grilling meat today. We're not going to talk about the problems with processed meat or red meat. Those are later podcasts. I mean, I have to save some stuff for NPE episode 149. God willing, we get there. But today we're going to talk about grilling and some of the problems and chemicals in meat that are cooked at high temperatures and the cancer risk associated with that. So heterocyclic amines, or HCAs, and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, or PAHs. It's like, why can't they just have regular chemical names, like chemical 1, chemical 2, and every time there's a new chemical created, they just number it. Chemical 4,892, but I guess that'd be harder. So HCAs and PAHs are chemicals formed when muscle meat, including beef, pork, fish, or poultry, is cooked using high-temperature methods, such as pan frying or grilling directly over an open flame. In laboratory experiments, HCAs and PAHs have been found to be mutagenic. That is, they cause changes in DNA that may increase the risk of cancer. Now, we're going to talk about this. So you see this mostly in rats, but the question is, like with all things, if something causes cancer in rats, like aspartame, for example, does that mean it transfers over to humans? Same thing for fluoride. We've talked about fluoride causing cancer in rats as well. HCAs are formed when amino acids, which of course are the building blocks of proteins, sugars, and creatine, a substance found in muscle, react at high temperatures. PAHs are formed when fat and juices from meat grilled directly and over an open fire drip onto the fire, causing flames. These flames contain PAHs that then adhere to the surface of the meat. PAHs can also be formed during other food preparation processes, such as smoking of meats. Also, you kind of see it in marshmallow grilling if you ever grill something over a marshmallow or a marshmallow over a fire. I went over to the Pacific Northwest over the summer, and believe it or not, this is so embarrassing, but again, if you listen to Confessions of an Obese Child, you'll know I was a very sheltered fat child, and I actually grilled or made s'mores over an open fire, which I never done in my life. I did that during the summer over in an island off in Puget Sound across from Seattle. HCAs are not found in significant amounts in foods other than meat cooked at high temperatures. PAHs can be found in other charred foods, as well as in cigarette smoke and car exhaust fumes. I remember reading a study that one of the possible theories as to why the kids can become autistic when they're in the womb is that mothers who live near large streets, like thoroughfares, for example, had a higher rate of possibly having a higher rate of kids with autism or some sort of birth defects, because we really don't know, or at least it's being covered up, what's the true reason for autism. What we do know is, in 1975, it was like 1 in 25,000 kids were born on the spectrum. Now it's 1 in every 26 boys. So it's a major problem. What factors influence the formation of HCA and PAHs in cooked meats? The formation of HCAs and PAHs vary by meat type, cooking method, and doneness level. It's so done, such as rare, medium, or well done. You know, that's like another word that I've heard is woke. Are you woke? Have you been woke? It's like, I have no idea what this is, but I have my students coming up to me. They're like, Mr. Luna, have you been woke? I'm like, what does that mean? I'm awake. No, have you been woke? So yeah, the doneness. Whatever the type of meat, however, meats cooked at high temperatures, especially over 300 degrees Fahrenheit, as in grilling or pan frying, or that are cooked for a long time, tend to form more HCA. So 300 degrees Fahrenheit, that's the big number threshold. For example, well-done, grilled, or barbecued chicken and steak all have high concentrations of HCAs. Cooking methods that expose meat to smoke or charring contribute to PAH formation. Again, PAH comes more from the open flame and the grilling of charred food. What evidence is there that HCAs and PAHs in cooked meat may increase cancer risks? Well, studies have shown that exposure to HCAs and PAHs can cause cancer in animal models. In many experiments, rodents fed a diet supplemented with HCAs developed tumors of the breast, colon, liver, skin, lung, prostate, and other organs. Again, breast cancer, colon cancer, liver cancer, skin, lung, prostate, and other organs. Rodents fed PAHs also developed cancers, including leukemia and tumors of the gastrointestinal tract and lungs. However, the doses of HCAs and PAHs used in these studies were very high, equivalent to thousands of times the doses that a person would consume in a normal diet. Well, that's good to know. Population studies have not established a definitive link between HCAs and PAH exposure from cooked meats and cancer in humans. One difficulty with conducting such studies is that it can be difficult to determine the exact level of HCA and PAH exposure a person gets from cooked meats. Although dietary questionnaires can provide a good estimate, they may not capture all the detail about cooking techniques that is necessary to determine HCA and PAH exposure levels. In addition, individual variation in the activity of enzymes that metabolize HCA and PAHs may result in exposure differences, even among people who ingest the same amount of these compounds. In other words, everybody's different, right? Also, people may have been exposed to PAHs from other environmental sources, such as pollution and tobacco smoke. Nevertheless, numerous epidemiologic studies have used detailed questionnaires to examine participants' meat consumption and meat cooking methods to estimate HCA and PAH exposures. Researchers found that high consumption of well-done, fried, or barbecued meat was associated with increased risk of colorectal, pancreatic, and prostate cancer. All right, so that is actual human studies. Human studies. So high consumption of well-done, fried, or barbecued meats, higher risk of colorectal cancer. That's when you probably need a colostomy bag when you ooze out feces from your bag and they reconnect your colon. Because let's say you get colon cancer and you're not getting colonoscopies and those polyps that develop, precancerous polyps, become cancerous and then they spread to other parts of the colon and then later to your body. So they have to cut out the tumorous or the malignant part of your colon. And so you still have to find a way to defecate or poop. So they have to reconnect the last healthy part of your colon to your skin. And this is why people with colostomy bags have to like a plastic bag, almost like a diaper bag, or a Foley catheter bag, and they just ooze out feces all day. So we don't want that. Pancreatic cancer, we definitely don't want that, right? That's the big killer. It's like 95% mortality rate in 5 years if you have pancreatic cancer. Patrick Swayze, for example, died of that. Steve Jobs. And prostate cancer. Man, Patrick Swayze, he was such a stud. What movie was I watching back in the 80s? Point Break, man, with he and Keanu Reeves. Such a great movie. I mean, he had that run in the late 80s. It kind of started slow. He had Red Dawn, which is a great movie about when the Cubans and the Russians invade America, and he and C. Thomas Howell, see another great one-letter initial guy, and Leah Thompson and Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing, and Charlie Sheen when he was young. They form a resistance group called the Wolverines. Anyways, he's in that. And then later on, of course, he has that great run with Ghost and Dirty Dancing and Point Break, and I am forgetting a classic Swayze movie and it's driving me crazy. The one where he's a bouncer and he beats up everybody. Roadhouse. Yeah, so that's like a bad good movie. All right, so let's take a quick break and then we'll talk about ways that we can reduce our chances of getting HCA. All right, we are back. I could literally just talk about movies all the time. I love playing the movie game with some of my friends. I have a friend, Ginger, and a friend, Amanda, and they're very, very good at the movie game. And the movie game is essentially, I name an actor, and they have to name a movie that actor or actress was in. And then I have to name another actor or actress that was in the movie they named. And then they have to name another movie that actor or actress was in. And then you try to go on and on and on, try to stump the person. It's kind of like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. So for example, I would say something like Patrick Swayze. And then the other person would say Dirty Dancing. And then I would have to come up with another person that was in the movie Dirty Dancing aside from Patrick Swayze. At that point, I would have to say Jennifer Grey. And then another person would have to come up with another movie Jennifer Grey was in that was not Dirty Dancing. And at that point, I would say Red Dawn. Or let's go Ferris Bueller, because she was a sister in Ferris Bueller. So then I have to name somebody else that was in Ferris Bueller aside from Jennifer Grey. And it just goes on and on. It's a fun game. All right. So do guidelines exist for the consumption of foods containing HCAs and PAHs? Currently, no. No federal guidelines address the consumption of foods containing HCAs and PAHs. The World Cancer Research Fund and the American Institute for Cancer Research, the IACR, which we've talked about. I have some blog articles listing the class 1 carcinogens and the class 2 carcinogens that have been released by the IACR, but that's the World Health Organization one, not the American one. And incidentally, it's kind of funny because HCAs and PAHs are listed as class 2A carcinogens, meaning that they probably lead to cancer. And as we've already talked about in this study, and there was another study released by the University of Minnesota that talked about how if you eat a lot of barbecued meat, it shoots up your chances of pancreatic cancer. That was their particular study. But we had just talked about how it also raises your chances of other cancers as well, including colorectal. Anyways, the Institute of Cancer Research issued a report in 2007. With dietary guidelines, it recommended limiting the consumption of red meats and processed meats. However, no recommendations were provided for HCA and PAH levels in meat. And we'll talk about that big expose on Time and Time magazine that reported on last year about red meat killing you. Are there ways to reduce HCA and PAH formation in cooked meats? Even though no specific guidelines for HCA or PAH consumptions exist, concerned individuals can reduce their exposure by using several cooking methods. Number one. I'm sorry, I can't resist. I just love these old sound graphics. Avoiding direct exposure of meat to open flame or a hot metal surface and avoiding prolonged cooking times, especially at high temperatures, can help reduce HCA and PAH formation. So again, think about barbecuing, right? Or you're cooking meat over an open fire like when you're camping. So direct exposure of meat to an open flame. We don't want that. Or a very, very hot metal surface. And then overcooking your meat. So again, think of well done. These are bad things. These are things that we want to limit as much as possible. Number two, using a microwave oven to cook meat prior to exposure to high temperatures can also substantially reduce HCA formation by reducing the time that meat must be in contact with high heat to finish cooking. So this is kind of like almost like a defrost mode, right? We used to defrost our frozen chicken and our frozen meat. And I was never a big fan of defrosting food, especially in plastic. And overall, I'm not a big fan of the microwave. You know, I might do a podcast episode on the dangers of microwaves because that's definitely controversial. And there's a lot of episodes I want to do. I definitely want to tackle cell phones and electromagnetic radiation and smart devices. I think that's a great one to cover. But in this case, so cook your meat in a microwave and then cook it on a regular stove or on an open flame. That way you don't have to cook it as much because the microwave has already cooked it to a certain extent. And again, it lowers and limits the amount of contact with high heat to finish that cooking. So definitely that's another thing that you can do. The number three thing that you can do to lower your chances of getting HCA and PAH formation is continuously turning meat over on a high heat source. That does tend to help instead of just leaving the meat on the heat source without flipping it often. We want to be flipping it often, which makes sense, right? Because if you're going to have it on a high heat on one side, it's going to really overcook that one side, and then the other side won't be as well cooked. So just keep flipping it to balance out the heat distribution on the meat that you are eating. With these sound effects, I feel like I'm back in Morocco. I spent a couple of days in Morocco when I lived in Spain when I was in college. I did a summer abroad, and we took a boat from the Strait of Gibraltar, from Gibraltar down to Tangiers in Morocco. And we got conned by a teenage boy who was going to show us around Tangiers, because that's one of those towns that has a Medina and a Kasbah and the market and all these things, and you can get really lost. It's very labyrinthine. Anyways, he pulled a fast one on us, which we found out later on was pretty common where Europeans or Americans are the person's like, come, I will show you around. I will show you for like 5 drachma or whatever the currency of Morocco is. I don't know, drachmas are the old Greek one, but I don't know what they have in Morocco, to be honest. And then they take you into the market, right? And it's just a turn after turn after turn. And then they get you to a dead end, and the guys are like, all right, give me all your money, or, you know, I'll kill you. And so we were robbed. And of course, he took all our money, and then we eventually had to figure our way out, but that was a common thing. But anyway, it's enough with the Moroccan music. Moroccan food's great, though. The fourth and final thing we'll talk about of ways you can reduce your HCA and PAH formation in cooked meats is to remove charred portions of meat and refraining from using gravy made from meat drippings. That's more the PAH. The PAH is more of an issue with the charred portions of meat. So again, the takeaway is don't overheat your meat, not over an open flame. If you're doing it on a stove, don't do it over 300 degrees. Try to warm it up in the microwave. Keep flipping the meat. These are some things. So the last thing I want to mention is some of these studies that have come out. So I mentioned the University of Minnesota study that came out a few years ago. And what they did was they tracked 62,000 people over a 9-year period, and they tracked their eating habits, and they found out that eating charred meat or very well-done meat increased their risk of developing pancreatic cancer by up to 60%, 60%. And then another study that came out not that long ago showed that by flipping frequently, it reduces your HCAs by 75 to 95%. And that was according to the Nutrition Action Health Letter. So again, these are things you can do, constantly flipping. Another thing, for whatever reason, is marinating your meat. Marinating your meat can help reduce the chances of the formations of HCA. And scientists aren't sure why, but maybe the marinade acts like a barrier between your meat and the carcinogens. But the American Institute for Cancer Research said that marinating meat for at least 30 minutes can reduce the formation of HCAs. The type of marinade may even be a factor, according to the Kansas State University Food Science Institute, who found that a steak cooked in Caribbean marinade had an 88% drop in HCAs, while an herb marinade accounted for a 72% drop, and a Southwestern mixture had a 57% drop in bad compounds in the HCAs. So I guess the takeaway is get used to Caribbean flavor because that's the biggest reduction in HCAs. But in general, use marinades. Use marinades. That makes a lot of sense. And then the last thing, let's talk about fish. So in general, we know we want to reduce the amount of exposure that our meat are going to be exposed to high heat or open flame. So meats like fish, which cook significantly quicker than chicken or beef, don't need to be cooked as much. Don't overcook your fish, because fish too will be releasing HCAs as well. And so that's another thing that you can do. The last thing I want to mention is, and I know I've already said that once, is that we're not talking about processed meats, and we'll talk about that on a separate podcast about the inherent dangers of processed meat. And I do want to address the big study that came out in 2015 about eating red meat. So is red meat bad for you? Because that's very loaded. It's very similar to that study that came out about a year ago saying that coconut oil is bad for you. And then a lot of people are like, oh my God, I'm not going to use coconut oil anymore. It's going to lead to heart disease. And it's a very nuanced answer. But today I just wanted to talk about grilling your meat. So the big takeaway, guys, the big takeaway is when you go to a restaurant and you want a steak or a burger, ask for medium rare or at the most medium. Medium rare or at the most medium. Even go rare. You know, there's that dish steak tartare where you're essentially eating raw meat with a little alcohol in it. But just go medium rare and develop a taste for that. And again, when you're barbecuing, maybe you only do it a couple times a week. I know there are connections between over barbecuing too much and also with stomach cancer. So all the digestive cancers, there's a higher rate. And the problem with the digestive system cancers is that they don't have a high success rate in overcoming it, because I suppose the digestive system is so important. And those epithelial cells in our stomach and our intestines are always creating new ones. So again, it's all about the mutagenic effect. So we want to be very careful about that. So don't overheat your meat, and then don't keep it over high temperatures or an open flame too long, and keep flipping it and keep flipping it. So those are the big takeaways. All right, guys, take care. God bless. And until next time, don't eat as much meat and undercook it.
Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.